Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Welcome to our podcasters, everyone listening online. This is a great part in our service where we come around the Word of God. As a church, we don't teach line upon line. You won't see us. Actually, we do have a series coming up later this year. There's actually a book of the Bible. But normally, we come around thoughts and topics that we feel God is speaking to us as a church. So this year, it's on the board behind me that this is a year of the Father's favor. And we've been unpacking some different series. Last series was Breaking Ceilings. This series is all about using our gifts to build each other up. So this is a point in our service where we come around the Word of God. I believe the Word of God has the power to change our lives, that it is a good foundation for everything in life. The Word of God is powerful, it is effective, and it is able to help us to walk in the ways that Jesus has anointed us and called us to live in. So we're going to come around a story this morning in 2 Kings chapter 2. We have this story. There's a few verses that are on the screen behind me, 6, 9, 15. Did I remember? Is that right? Yeah, there we go. We have this account of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was a great prophet in the Old Testament, and he is a cool prophet. No offense, but some of the prophets are quite unusual. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, no offense. But Elijah did some cool things. Even in our prayer meeting, we were talking about the prophets of Baal, this moment that happens where it's kind of God versus the prophets of Baal's gods. And Elijah is making fun of them. He's mocking them. It's just Elijah sounds like a cool guy that I want to hang out with. But we have this account in 2 Kings chapter 2 of where Elijah is being called back to God in a miraculous way. And we have these different snippets in chapter 2 of Elisha and Elijah's conversations together. So they're off to a location, Bethel Church in Reading. They're headed there. But what occurs is these unique moments in the conversation between Elisha and his mentor, his leader, Elijah. And this morning we want to look at how to receive well off each other and how to actually draw out of each other. And we could have looked at Timothy and Paul, but we've really been looking at that over the last 4 weeks as we're looking at Corinthians, as we're looking at Timothy scriptures, Peter scriptures, and Corinthian scriptures. We're getting this conversation between Paul and the people that he's leading. But I want to look at this encounter between Elijah and Elisha. In verse 6 on your screen, it says, "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan.'" I love Elisha's response. "And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them walked on." This miraculous moment occurred where Elijah took his cloak and hid it on the Jordan, and the Jordan split and they were able to walk on dry land across. In verse 9, it says, "When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you.' And Elisha, again with such boldness, 'Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit,' Elisha replied." That doesn't mean twin spirits inside of Elisha. What he's asking is double what God has done in you. My prayer is that he would do it in me. That is a bold prayer. This isn't, "I want to be half the father that my dad was to me" type prayer. This is, "I want double of what God has done in your life." And if you actually look through Kings, you will see this report of the actual amount of miracles that occurred in Elijah's life. The quantity doubled. Some people say it was 14 to 28. Others say that it was 7 to 14. However you count them, it appears to be that this prayer that Elisha prayed, "I want double of what God has done," was answered. And it goes down after Elijah was taken up in some chariots of fire. Verse 15 says, "The company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, 'The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha.' And they and they went to meet him and bowed on the ground before him. And then the story actually gets weirder from there. What I want to do this morning is I want us to pull apart these three verses in this chapter, because I believe God wants to add something new to this series this morning before we go and working bee it up. Does that sound okay this morning? Let me pray for us and then we'll get into this and Claudia can rest her fingers. Did anyone notice that Claudia made a mistake during service leading? I don't know why this button exists here, but this does this. How cool is it? Who reckons our worship should have more pitch changes like that? Put your hand up. Do you ever like play the wrong chord on purpose and just like correct it, like auto-tune yourself? Awesome. Cool. Let's pray, because you need God this morning. I don't know why you're laughing at that comment. Must be pride in your hearts. No, okay, let's get in this. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here to change and transform us, that you are not done with us becoming more like you, King Jesus. And we just say as a church community that we are hungry to receive more from you. We don't want to be more like the person next to us. We don't want to be more like our leader. We want to be more like you, King Jesus. So we ask this morning that your word would convict us, encourage us, rebuke us, exhort us, help us to put on the ground what you are saying to us. May we be a church that is eagerly pursuing the gifts of God, so that when people see our lives, that they glorify you, King Jesus, that our light would truly shine, that we would use everything that we have to glorify your name until it is a witness to those close or far from you. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Claudette. Rosie Ruiz is on our screen. Born on the 23rd of July, 1956, let's say. She was born in Cuba and at the age of 8 came over to America. She's a Cuban American and went to uni, did all of that, art degree. But in 1979 and 1980, she became famous. Does anyone know who this person is? Okay, no marathon fans, that's perfectly fine. Neither am I, but I did watch a lot of marathon stuff this week, so get pumped. All of these are just a rabbit hole of YouTube that I go on. What happened is Rosie set a record in the 1980 Boston Marathon. 12 months before that, actually about 6 months before that, she ran in the New York Marathon with a score of 2 hours, 56 minutes and 29 seconds. 4 months later in the Boston Marathon, she carved off 25 minutes of her marathon. 25 minutes is an amazing improvement in a few months. And at this Boston Marathon, she came first place. She set a record for women in the Boston Marathon 1980. But what occurred moments after is people began to ask questions of Rosie. Some of the questions included, why aren't you sweating? She hadn't sweated at all. Running a 2 hour, 36 minutes and 56 second marathon, you would sweat a little bit, right? And often with marathon runners, you'll see them even roll up their sleeves to try and get some extra airflow occurring if they've got a... But she had a thick t-shirt on. She was not sweating at all. And some questions started to form about how she won. People started asking questions, what were your split times as you're going through? What do you remember about this place? When we ran past this, did you love the cheering? Because there was infamous moments throughout the marathon. There was a university nearby, and every time the first place person come past, it was like a riot of joy. People were screaming and cheering, but she couldn't remember these moments throughout the marathon. And the person that came second and third in the marathon, who were coming first and second a few miles earlier, don't remember young Rosie overtaking them. And what began to get asked was she a cheater? And some stories came out that the marathon a few months earlier, people remember her on the New York subway during the marathon. She started, But then she rode the subway to the finish line, got out and qualified for the Boston Marathon. And then people started to say, actually, she was standing with me in the crowd a mile out from the finish line. And to her death in 2019, Rosie refused to admit that she had cheated. In 1980, a few months later, they stripped her of her victory. There was shame involved, but until she passed away, she still had never admit that she had cheated in the marathon. But all of the evidence showed that, you know, no sweat, not remembering anything, there being no record. They looked at camera footage. They couldn't find her anywhere by the finish line. And if you actually look at the photos of her at the finish line, she's so exhausted. And these two police officers come and carry her because she can't bear to go any further. But absolutely no sweat. And I find it absolutely hilarious. And even preparation for this message, I looked at sports cheating, and one of my favorites was actually, this is so weird, in 2002, I think, in the Paralympics, in specifically the mental disability category, the men's basketball team, people that won it, out of the team of 15 people, in the weeks following, they actually tested all of the basketball players, and none of them had any disabilities. They just flunked out of the Olympic ones. They gave the Paralympic ones a go, got a great victory, and it was great for them. What I want to look at is this morning. The what of the message is cheat codes. How to receive well off others. How to actually be equipped. How can you be equipped better? What are some things that we can do that maybe would position us in a way to receive well of others rather than being preoccupied with how much we get to be heard or how much we want to give or how much honor we want for our giftings? Because we've been looking at this series, and throughout the 4 weeks, myself, Pastor Brian, and Pastor Charlie have tried to help us to value the giftings that God has given us. These gifts are super important. They are there for you to equip other people in, but they can quite easily become an idol. They can quite easily become, okay, I'm going to say it. Can I say it? Imagine if God asked you to do something and your response was, actually, that's not in my top three giftings. I can't actually have someone over at my house for hospitality reasons because that's actually my fifth lowest giftings. So sorry, Holy Spirit. That person's going to have to visit someone else. Or someone comes to you with some brokenness and some hurting, and the Holy Spirit says, speak some love and encouragement to me. Like, sorry, Holy Spirit, I don't know if you looked at my gifts testing, but mercy is my lowest rating. I'm a truth teller. I'm not going to do any mercy right now. I'm going to give them some leadership. Tell you what you should do. Stop being an idiot and do better. Okay, not going to be helpful. And what we can find is if we use these giftings as the only way that God can speak to us or use us, we may find ourselves actually opposing the very God that gives the gifts in the first place. Your gifting is less important than being equipped by the rest of the body. You using your gift is absolutely amazing, but if you use your gift to the best of your ability, you still won't be mature. You still will lack things. And we're going to come around to scripture in a moment in Ephesians that can hopefully help us understand the importance of other people's giftings. And I dare to say other people's giftings in your world are more important than your gifting in your world. Mark gave me two wows, so that must be good. Can we hit up the next slide? Is that okay? In Ephesians 4, verse 12 to 13. If you've got it, you're allowed to say, got it, I won. I get a discount on my giving for the next 12 months. Verse 12 says, their job is to give God's people the equipment they need for their works of service, and so to build up the king's body. The purpose of this is that we should all reach unity in our belief and loyalty in knowing God's Son. Then we shall reach the stature of the mature man. Everyone say mature man. Measured by the standards of the king's fullness. I want to keep on reading. It's not on the screen. It says, as a result, we won't be babies any longer. We won't be thrown this way and that way on stormy seas. There's some imagery for you of babies getting thrown around by the sea. Blown about by every gust of teaching, by human tricksters, by their cunning and deceitful schemes. Instead, we must speak truth in love and so grow up in everything into him. That is, into the king who is the head. He supplies the growth that the whole body needs. He supplies the growth for the whole body needs, linked as it is and held together by every joint which supports it, with each member doing its own proper work. Last sentence, then the body builds itself up in love. He supplies the growth that the whole body needs, linked as it is and held together by every joint that supports it, with each member doing its own proper work, then the body builds itself up. The reason why having these codes in our own life, helping us to receive well off each other, is very simple. Your gift is not enough. It is not enough for you to receive everything that God has for you. For example, if you are an arm, you still need a brain. If you are a brain, it would be helpful that you have a big toe so you don't fall over as much. These different things in the body are given for a united purpose, that Jesus' body would not lack hands or lack feet or lack a heart, that his body in the earth would be full and mature. And if we're going to be full and mature, that does not mean we get our gifting tests and say, this is who I am now forever and all time. No one can ask me to do anything outside of this or make me outside of my personality or comfort zone. That's not what it means. What it means is you have these gifts, equip someone else, but you lack these things. You need everybody else. Because it doesn't matter how great my leadership is if I lack mercy for those that I lead. It doesn't matter how good my administration is if I lack hospitality to help people understand their gifts and to make them feel at home. Your gift personality test is nice and it is helpful, but it also highlights perhaps the 12 giftings that you need to work on. Because you show me your gifting of leadership without mercy and we'll see how effective it is. We'll see how the abuse of power goes to your head. The strengths of your gift are strong, but its weaknesses still need the Holy Spirit to help you. And this scripture emphasizing that the body is able to build itself up in love is a statement to the church in Ephesus that you can't do it alone. That you're not able to achieve everything that God has for you by you and King Jesus whispering sweet nothings to each other. You need the rest of the body to help you in the things that even as you're ticking little boxes, you're realizing are weaknesses where you need him still. But he is not interested in doing it isolated from the rest of the body. He wants the body to build itself up. You are not mature because you can teach. You are mature because the things that you lack in, you will humbly go to someone else and grow and learn in. Your challenge should not be, can I let everyone know my top gifting? Your challenge should be, in my weakest one, do people see King Jesus still? In the way that I show hospitality, is there an excellence about it? And if I suck at it, that is perfectly okay as a starting position, but not as an ending one. Maturity is receiving from the whole body. On our screen is our next glorious slide. Hit me up, Pacey. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, so, my dear family, this is my appeal to you by the mercies of God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, Worship like this brings your mind into alignment, into line with God's. Whew. Your reasonable act of worship is sacrifice. Your reasonable act of worship is humility. Your reasonable act of worship is connected to the rest of the body until you are mature, until you are whole. And I would say the most mature people in life are not the loudest, are the ones that draw out the God out of the people around them. Does that sound okay this morning? I want to give you three cheat codes out of 2 Kings chapter 2 that I think will help us in our posture towards each other's giftings. Does that sound okay? On the screen, they're all A's so that you can remember. Attitude, everyone say attitude. Say the next one. There you go. And the last one, advance. Awesome. In these verses, in 2 Kings, we have these three moments. In verse 6, we have attitude from Elisha to Elijah. As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Isn't that a great posture of someone that wants to learn? The great posture of someone that is hungry for something more. That Elisha did some cool stuff still. It's not like Elisha was no one or the prophets surrounding them. These guys are being used by God. Even the verses before are these great moments of Elijah knowing that he's going back to God. Elisha knows it because God's told Elijah, God told Elisha, and all of the prophets around also are saying, do you know that your master's about to go back to heaven? And he's like, yes, I know, shut your mouth. Like everyone around is hearing God and being used by God, but Elisha had a good attitude. I wonder if your attitude towards someone else's giftings at the beginning of our series, I challenged us with the thought of do you view your giftings as compliments to you or comparisons? And a good attitude is you are strong in this, I am weak in this, I don't need to be number one at this. The giftings are there for me to build other people up. So I don't expect that I am all things. There are different parts of the body that are equipping different parts of the body. The gifts are there to build up. But just because I am weak at this, it doesn't mean I should ignore it and get concreted further and further in what I'm allowing God to use me for. That if I'm going to be complete, able to do the work of the ministry, it requires an attitude of I want more. And it's awesome. We've been going over this series of if you're a prophet, get around some prophetic people and they can sharpen you a gifting. But if you are a prophet, may I suggest some other giftings in your prescription as well? All of them. Because what happens, and we said this at the beginning of this series, what happens if all the prophets get together, weird stuff occurs. If all the administration people get together, weird stuff occurs. You get all the teaching people together and them all teaching over the top of each other, weird stuff occurs. When the body is isolated into its individual parts, that is an unusual body of Christ. We've got ripped off hands laying everywhere and gouged out eyes and everyone just sitting on the ground being like, look how mature I am. If we want to be mature, let's posture our attitude well, that we are hungry to receive of someone else's gift that doesn't reinforce already what we know. In a few weeks' time, we are going into a different series and we're going to emphasize how to grow old well. And we're going to talk about the different phases of life and the different demographics in our church and how we can function intergenerationally together. Because there are different lessons we're supposed to learn in different demographics, and each demographic is supposed to speak truth to another. But this is an awesome attitude of Elisha to make sure that we are hungry for something a little bit more. The second one is in verse 9. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do before I am taken from you." And then Elisha drops the bomb. His prayer request is filled out. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. I love that the relationship here between Elijah and Elisha is one of great honesty, but Elijah is very interested in what Elisha wants. There is an impartation here and an atmosphere in this relationship of one of faith and wanting something more. And if you want to position yourself well to receive off each other, attitude is important and what you bring to it. But the atmosphere and the culture that you create is equally as important. Elijah here allows Elisha to drop a prayer request. What do you want? Like, you are stalking me. We're running through the Jordan right now. It's nice and dry. It's really cool. Amazing things are happening. But what do you want? And I encourage you, if you want to succeed at things that maybe you are weak in when it comes to spiritual gifts, find someone who is actually interested in you going much, much further than you could do without them. Find a, if you are looking for a leader and a mentor for months and months and years, I encourage you, find a new person and let them mentor you. Every single person has something to bring. It shouldn't be that hard for you. Position yourself with someone that just, I can see this on your life. I want to receive off your life. Walk around. What are your spiritual gifts? What are your spiritual gifts? What are your spiritual gifts? And find someone that is strong in what you are weak in, and then create relationship and atmosphere and invest in each other in a way that when the question gets asked, how can I help you? You are really bad at this area. Your response can be, man, I want everything that you have times two. I want you to impart in me in such a way and encourage me and exhort me in such a way that when everyone looks around that they see Jesus in why I do what I do, not some talent thing or I was brought up a certain way or I really like paperwork so I do administration or I really like something so I do something. Have someone that you have that type of atmosphere with. How do you do that? Commit yourself and keep turning up. There are some rewards that only people get from mentorship. A healthy mentor, a good mentor, separated Elisha from all of the other prophets. Find someone that you can receive from. Well, firstly, just find anyone. You look at their life and you're like, I want that. Cool. Position yourself, ask for double. And the last thing in verse 15, the company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. This moment where the attitude is set, the atmosphere is shown of this mentorship relationship, but this last moment which kind of propels Elisha into some amazing stories and testimonies of what God did, but there is an advancing that occurs. And it's not enough just to say, oh, wow, Noah's so good at this gifting. Cool, Noah, can you give me some encouragement in this? And I was like, yeah, do this and this. And you're like, cool, thanks, Noah. I'm going to go do what I want to do anyway. There has to be some advancing and some growth in your areas. And I want to say it again, and we said at the beginning of this series, that your gifting becomes so much stronger when you understand the value of it's the same spirit that gives all of them. That my leadership, that my teaching, that my discernment, that my words of knowledge, that my tongues or interpretation of tongues, or the six that we didn't list, celibacy, martyrdom, whatever the giftings are, that you would realize that you become so much more strong, full. It's like a banquet if you will allow God to advance you in areas that you don't think you're good at without Him. Does that make sense? Claude's going to jump up on keys as we conclude, and I'm about to hand it over, I think, to Mark and Noah, and they'll give us some working bee directions, and then you can slip out. Libby's gone. She's had enough. She's starting holidays tomorrow. Pastor Benai's away, so she just takes holidays now. Libby was supposed to be on holidays yesterday, but she just didn't want to miss the working bee. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? And me too. On the screen, we didn't have much time this morning to go through other scriptures, but if you need more scriptures to help you understand, there's some show your work graphics on actually taking apart attitude, atmosphere, and advance, and what the Bible looks at in these different areas. We have been looking at Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Peter in this series, these spiritual gifts. Next week, the Watsons are going to add another layer, and Pastor Ben and I are going to conclude some thoughts before we move into our Blessed to be a Blessing series. But my prayer this morning is, even during our working bee time, if you're around for that, that you would maybe ask some people what are some graces, some giftings on their life. It could be the ones listed in Corinthians or Romans or Ephesians or Peter, or not. It might be something else that God has gifted someone in that adds to us as a body. For example, one of the spiritual gifts is not graphic design or social media, but I'm thankful that there's people in our church that are gifted in those areas to help us advance and do things. But instead of just waiting for someone to say your giftings so you can talk about your giftings, when someone says something that is different to you, would you ask a follow-up question? Would you work out their why a little bit more, what they're passionate about and what they can contribute? And would you ask them, maybe I'm strong in these things, what are things that you think from your perspective and your grace and your giftings that my giftings need to learn from you? What is something that I need to do a little bit differently or a little bit better? Because our last slide is on the screen. It is green, so it doesn't sound as aggressive. It's that there is a church-sized hole in your Christianity. There's actually something that you need from the body. And it's not enough just to say, I'm connected to the head and I am the whole body. That there is something that you need from these other giftings. There's something that you need from these other people that God is very interested in you receiving. Because I don't know if you missed it, He supplies the growth that the whole body needs, linked as it is and held together by every joint which supports it, with each member doing its own proper work, then the body builds itself up in love. That is our prayer as a church for you. Whether you're new, you're a leader in our team, you serve, you wander in, whenever you wander in, you're listening online from a different location. Our prayer is that you would be actually connected to the body and you would let it build you up. Let me pray for us this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you give us so many great gifts, but one of the gifts that you give us, and it's probably in the top few, is each other. And God, we know that sometimes it is hard to receive off each other. Sometimes it's hard to take our eyes off ourselves and what we want and to see you in the eyes and the lives of others. But we pray that we would be a church community, a faith community that knows how to draw out God from each other. That we would not be satisfied with our maturity levels thinking that we've worked it out. That we wouldn't even sit here this morning and think, oh yeah, I like that message, I agree with this and this. That it would not, we would not constantly look for things to affirm what we already know, but we would go somewhere new with you. You would keep on working on our hearts and our lives, and that we would come before you with humility, asking for you to keep on making us more like your Son. And I thank you for what you're doing in our church community. I thank you that you've graced us and gifted us with so many things to build each other up. But I pray this morning would just be a nudge in the direction to draw down from each other. Because we thank you for the greatness in our church community. We thank you that our platform or a microphone does not show the full expression of what you are doing here. And we pray that we would have honor not just for moments or run sheets or positions or titles, that we would have honor for your body, that we would learn and we would grow and we would receive of each other until we lack nothing, until we are mature and whole. So we thank you for everything you're doing in our midst. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that our prayer requests and praise reports next week would be filled with testimonies and moments of honor. maybe people in this room that are graced and gifted in an area would have someone else actually draw them into a new level. The confidence is lacking that honor would bring truth in our lives. Maybe they're discouraged in their gifting, that our honor would bring encouragement and life and boldness again. We thank you for everything you're doing in our church, and we just ask that you would continue in us, not just in our services when no one's watching, that you and us would grow. When the run sheet is over, when Sunday is done, that tomorrow morning that we would draw closer to you, that we would ask less questions of, do other people, are they pleased with us? And more questions are you. And we'd walk in obedience with you, that we would grow in our faith with you, and that it would give you honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, a faith-filled church said, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.